We're going to get our Bibles out. We're going to open to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22. Again, thank you so much for allowing our family to come. I've been excited about this, and you know, Pastor is correct. Oh, praise God. Glory. Amen. It's unopened. Oh, man. That's much better. We have been trying to get over here for a while now, but just things just kept coming up. But we have been thrilled about coming and visiting y'all and meeting y'all for the first time. We met Pastor Walsh for the first time in a restaurant. We spent the day, the whole family spent the afternoon with him, and we had it was a blessing, a good time in the Lord, and we do thank you for just giving us the opportunity to be here and share all this with you. The hotel y'all gave us is wonderful. Thank you so much for that. But in the meantime, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 13. We're going to look at a deep doctrinal truth here today. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. I don't know. I'm a children's pastor, so I think of things in a strange way, so forgive me. But the Bible says in Proverbs 22, 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and for your blessings. I pray, Father, that you would help us as we try to understand your word. We thank you so much for your word, that it's perfect and it's pure, Father, and we can trust it, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us as we try to bear this word throughout the world. And Father, please continue to send forth laborers into your harvest. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, what I want to talk about a little bit is excuses. I believe we live in a day where excuses are very common. In society, a lot of that stuff starting to get into churches, or it has been for a long time. I don't know about you, but I'm good at giving excuses. That, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but if I don't want to do something, I'll find a way to get out of it. It's a natural thing. What does the Bible say about excuses? It says that a slothful man is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. If you really don't want to do something, seven wise men couldn't come up with an excuse faster than one lazy guy. It's just, that's a fact. And if here's the thing. It's a problem, but the problem is not the excuses itself, but how it's permeated our churches. You see, we live in a day where the commission that God has given us is just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. And it's getting more important, and it's getting more dire. We're deluding ourselves if we don't believe we're in the end times, brothers and sisters. Here's the thing. I pray that the Lord tarries long enough so we can get to Japan. I pray the Lord tarries long enough for us to be able to tell a few more people about Jesus this week, because the Lord Jesus could come back at any moment. And we are running out of time, yet we find ourselves in situations where we just sometimes don't want to do what we have to do. That's just where we're at. That's just where we're at. So, what do I mean by this? Well, let's look at some of the common church excuses that we hear. So, I just wanted you a blessing today. Every one of these excuses, or most of them, I've given at one point or another, so you're in good company. Here's one. You know, I can't sing in the choir. I can't sing in church. I can't sing a special. I can't sing around anybody, because I don't have a very good voice. I'm not a good singer. Now, there are some people that I know that have given this excuse, and I've heard them sing, and they actually really can't sing. I mean, think about that. There are situations where there are legitimate problems. Can we agree on that? There are problems that exist in a person's life that they cannot change and probably will never change. Now, before I go on with this list of excuses, I wanted to share that one because I think that's a really good one that kind of stands out. But I think there's two kinds of excuses. There's the really bad, lame excuses that everybody hears. And when you hear it, it's kind of like you know automatically they're lying. They're giving an excuse. Like the dog ate my homework kind of thing, right? But there are some that they're really genuine problems for people. And there are things that people struggle with that keep them from doing what they need to do. This might be one of them. Seriously, there are some people who cannot sing. It's just a fact. I was a children's pastor for 10 years, loved every minute of it. The hardest part about being a children's pastor was getting help. And I've heard a lot of excuses over the years. One of the ones that I'd hear that was very common was, I'm not good with kids. And I've heard people say that, and I've looked at some people and said, yeah, I know, I've seen you with kids. That's not the point. We still need help. I can't tell people about Jesus because I'm shy, I'm afraid, I'm scared of what might happen. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters, there are people that genuinely struggle with that. They struggle with talking to people, let alone when it comes to eternity. I'm not saying it's not a problem, but we need to think about some things here. I can't come to church. There's too much going on. And often when we hear somebody say that, and we know that brother, and we know that sister, that they are working two jobs, and that they have to take the care of the kids all night long, it's hard for us not to empathize with the problems they're dealing with. You know why? Because we've been there. You and I both know what it's like to not have time to do anything, let alone come to church. I can't read my Bible today because I'm just too busy. There's too much going on. I can't give because the economy's bad. I can't give because I haven't had a good paycheck in a while and I just haven't had enough hours at work. Whatever the case may be, we understand that. You know why? Because those are legitimate problems in people's lives. People do struggle with not making enough money. People do struggle with being very shy. People struggle with not being able to sing. Yet, we're still commanded to do some things in Scripture, and those commands do not change based on the environment. So we have to consider some things here. And if I was going to give an excuse in the long, sad history of excuses in this world, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13 would be the best. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Well, hang on a second, it doesn't say he's lying. I mean, think, wake up in the morning, you drink your coffee, you get your clothes on, you're ready to go to work, right? We're supposed to work. Open the door, there's a man eating lion outside. So what do? We shut the door, lock the door, call 911, report a lion that is loose and trying to kill people, and then we call our boss because, you know, we don't want to get fired. We call our boss and we say, boss, I can't come in to work today. Well, what's the matter? What's wrong? Is everything okay? No, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. And unless he hates you, what's he going to say? Stay home. It's no big deal. Right? Because he gets it. No one wants to be eaten by a lion. He definitely doesn't want to be eaten by a lion. Yet look at God's heart here. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm not saying that a lion's not a problem. I've seen a lion in real life. It was behind plexiglass, but I've seen one. And they're big, and they're scary, and they're nasty. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would not want to come up against one. And I'm not saying that that lion is a pushover. In fact, very often, the problems that we have in our lives are difficult issues to overcome. Yet God's heart on this is that apparently, even a man-eating lion is not a good enough excuse to not do what we have to do. So I want us to consider this. We have three examples of this in the Bible. Excuse me. But I want y'all to at least consider the possibility that maybe there's no such thing as a valid excuse. Let's just consider it. And look, again, I can't emphasize this enough. I don't want you to think that I'm minimizing the problem. I understand it's a problem. No one is saying a lion is a pushover. I'm not saying that. No one's saying that the health problems you're dealing with is easy. No one's saying that the financial problems you're dealing with are easy. But what I am saying is we still have a job to do. We got to consider these things. So that's all I'm asking tonight. So let's look at our first example of an excuse. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. We're going to look at a passage from Samson's life this evening. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. There's a couple of things I want you to see in this passage. Number one, he had nothing in his hand, right? I would venture to say that when the word behold is given there in the Bible, at the very least, he was not expecting to meet a lion that day. Can we agree on that? He wasn't prepared. He didn't have lion-killing equipment. He wasn't sworded and shielded or any of that stuff. He just was walking around, minding his own business, and behold, a young lion roared against him. But what I want you to see is notice what he didn't do. Though he was not prepared, though he lacked preparation at that moment, he didn't say, hang on a second, time out. I know you're hungry, but I'm not ready. I tell you what, I'm gonna go get my sword, I'm gonna go get my shield, and then time in. Well, you know that's not how life works. Very often, we're not prepared for what God has for us to do. And many people will miss out on the will of God, and they'll miss out on the power of God in their life because in their mind, they genuinely believe they're not ready. There's young people that way. They won't take that next step of faith in their life because they're just, I just don't think I'm ready for this. Very often, we believe that in our hearts, and very often, we will fail to realize that most of the time, we're actually not ready for anything. I mean, if you're waiting to be for everything to be hunky-dory and perfectly organized, the moon's aligned properly, you're going to be waiting far too long, and very often, we're going to get stuff dumped on us, and we're going to have to do it regardless of our ability, we're going to have to do it regardless of our state, we're going to have to do it regardless of how ready we are, and sometimes when that lion comes our way, we may have to just trust the Lord that the Spirit of God will move mightily upon us, that we'll just use what we have and rip that thing in half and do something about it. Here's the thing about Samson. He has two choices here. Lay there and die or fight. His lack of preparation was irrelevant unless he didn't care about his own life. The lack of preparation is irrelevant. We just need to do what we have to do. I know that's cliche and maybe simple, but nothing changes. I mean, we're just using simple logic and reasoning here. It's either the lion or him. So regardless of his preparation, at least he did something. And God used it. And he ripped that thing in half, and it wasn't a problem. Not being ready, brothers and sisters, though we may think in our head that that is a valid reason to not serve the Lord right now, that's a valid reason to not do what I'm supposed to be doing right now, it's just not. Sometimes we need to just trust the Lord to get us through that. Let's look at another example, 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 20. We're going to look at David's mighty men, but we're only looking at one of them today. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 20. We're talking about lions. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Now, I'm no lion-killing expert, but I would say that this is not the optimal environment to be killing a lion in. He's in a pit, so he has no escape. Now, we know that he's had the power to kill at least people that were lion-like, so obviously, he has the ability, but it's not a good situation, right? He's in a pit, and it's snowing. Again, I'm not a lion expert, but I would say it's hard to kill a lion in snow. I mean, your toes get frozen, your fingers are frozen, you can't feel your face. You got to trudge around in that stuff. I'm from Louisiana, and I pastored a church in Michigan, so you can imagine the shock that to the system that was. And so here we are in this place where we're going from swamp to tundra and just walking from the parsonage to the church, which was about 100 feet away, was hard in snow this high, let alone killing a lion. But notice that he does not say, hang on a second, Mr. Lion, I know you're hungry, but why don't we wait for the snow to melt? Let's wait for conditions to improve. Maybe if things will get better, then I will be able to do what I need to do. Brothers and sisters, if you're waiting for things to get better, you're going to be waiting too long. I don't want to be a rain cloud on the parade tonight, but I do want to say this. I know we're in a bad state in our country right now, but knowing the Bible and knowing the Word of God and knowing what the Lord plans to do, it's probably not going to get better. And that's just a reality. But many people will not go any further in their life. You know why? Because they're waiting for their lives to get better. They're waiting for the money to flow better. They're waiting for the country to get better. They won't go on the mission field. They won't take that next step of faith because they're waiting for things to get better. Again, young people struggle with this. There are young people, there are children, teenagers that are in bad situations that they cannot control. And in their mind, if they're not careful, they'll start thinking, I can't serve the Lord. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm in right now. And honestly, if things will just get better for me, then I can start serving the Lord. No, the time is now. Notice in this situation here, there's only two options. Lay there and die, or do something about it. Yeah, there's snow. I'm not saying the snow is easy, but there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing he can do about it. So you know what he did? That sword and killed it. Let's look at one more example. 1 Samuel 17. We've got to be careful. Our mind will go some weird places. We have to really be careful to not make up excuses in our mind that will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to look at verse 34. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. So this is the story of David when he killed Goliath. We're just going to look at a portion of it. So the background here is David came and said, oh, don't worry, I'll kill the giant. And Saul's reaction to that was, well, here's the thing, you're but a youth, and he was a man of war from his youth. What can you do? So David felt the need to give some credentials to kind of prove that he could kill the giant. And so here's his answer in verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. So, here's David, he's a good shepherd, he's watching his sheep. Out of nowhere comes a bear and a lion, very unusual. These are not animals that tend to work together on a regular basis, but they did. And they stole a lamb from the flock. So David did what any good shepherd does, amen? He went out after him. But when he arrived, he found the lamb was in the lion's mouth. Now, I'm no shepherd, but if I would have rolled up on that scene, I probably would have said something like this. You know what, Mr. Lamb, you and I had a good run. But it's too late for you, buddy. Seriously, I mean, what if he pulled out his sword? What if he killed this lion? He gets all sweaty and bloody, and in the end, the lamb is dead. What? I mean, is it really worth it? I mean, there's 99 other sheep. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus didn't do that with you? You and I were far worse off than this lamb. Yet, he came looking for me, and he didn't give up on me. But if we're not careful, we'll get that in our head, and we'll start thinking, you know, we've been knocking on doors for months, and we haven't seen any fruit, or we've been doing Bible clubs. We've been doing vacation Bible school. You know how hard vacation Bible school is. I don't have to tell anybody here how hard that is. And we'll start wondering, if we're not careful, is it really worth it? Is it worth all the blood, the sweat, the tears, the money to do this thing? What if nothing comes of it? You see, this is kind of a side issue, but I think we've got the wrong idea about what success is in ministry. And in our mind, we think that if I kill the lion and I pull out a dead lamb, that I failed. When in reality, we just did what a good shepherd should do. And that was far more successful than most Christians will ever be in their life. But in this situation, yeah, I guess it could be a valid concern. But there's only two choices, right? Lay there and die, or let the lamb die, or do something about it. It's not a good situation. I mean, it'd have been better for him to see the lion just sitting there and doing, or the lamb just there and doing whatever lambs do, and rescuing this lamb, maybe at least knowing what the end result might be. But hey, in this situation, there was no knowledge of what could happen, and David very well could have died for nothing, but he did it. If we're not careful, you will, and I promise you, there will come a point in your life and in my life where we'll start to wonder if what we're doing is worth it. We'll start looking around at Dover. We'll start looking around at Pennsylvania. And say, you know, it's getting pretty bad around here. Is it really worth it? We'll start looking at America and say, you know what, at this point, maybe it's just time to just let things just die. We'll look at our missions budget, we'll look at our missionaries, and we'll start wondering, is it really worth all the money we're sending to missions? If we're not careful, we'll start wondering if what we're doing is worth it. And not knowing the end result of what's going to happen is not a valid reason to not do what God wants us to do. There are people that won't get saved because of this, by the way. They'll think in their head, I'm not worth it. Seriously, they'll say, there's no way that you don't know where I've been. I've heard that before as a pastor. Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. Yet, we can give them, from the Word of God, a whole bunch of hope. And, you know, I tell people this. If you want to know how to tell if there's still hope, breathe in and breathe out. If you can do that, there's still hope. It doesn't matter how far gone you are, how bad things are. And by the way, if you're here and you're lost, you need to get saved. It's not too late for you. Don't let that get in the way. That's not a good enough excuse. It's not. There's hope. There's far more hope than you realize. This is what I wanted y'all to see today. We saw these three examples of these lions. And yes, they were scary. They were nasty. There were problems in the life of all these three men. But notice that the lion really wasn't as big of a problem as we thought it was. God took care of it in all three cases, did he not? So really, the problem's not the lion, so what's the problem? That brings us back to our text. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The problem is not the lion. The problem is very often, we're too lazy to do anything about it. We live in an amazing day, don't we? We live in a day where if you want to learn how to work with children better, you can look it up on the internet and take a class from your phone. They didn't have that thousands of years ago. If you say, I don't know how to sing, I'm not very good at it, you can go on YouTube and look up how to sing and get some tips and pointers. I've looked it up. If you go on YouTube, you can type in how to kill a lion and get hits. I'm serious. It's really hard to, yes, it's easier to give excuses, but it's really hard to maintain those excuses today because there's so many things at our fingertips. If we're just creative enough, this is what we need to do. If you see a lion, sometimes we need to go in the back, grab the shotgun, cock that thing, and kill it because it's in the way of what we have to do. Because the commission does not end because there's a lion. I'm not saying the lion's easy, but we have to do something about it. God's heart on that is that it's a slothful man. I want us to look at this verse that'll kind of sum up what we're saying, and I'll be done. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. Please don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. I know that there's brothers and sisters in churches across America that are struggling with serious problems, and I get that. I get that. From cancer to bankruptcy, there are brothers and sisters that are struggling and dealing with things. And I'm not saying it's easy. But the commission doesn't go anywhere because of those problems that exist in our life. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Sorry, I wasn't there. I got to talking. There we go. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, right? I think that's a really good example of our day, isn't it? There's really nothing going on in your life that's really that bad, but we want people to think that something's bad. So the wicked flee when there's really nothing chasing them. But the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Everything you need to fight that lion is right here. And everything you need to fight that lion is in here in this church. And this is what God has given us to do. The lions aren't going anywhere, okay? That's the message, really. If you really want to know a big part of the message, the lions aren't going anywhere. The devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You think he's going anywhere? Uh-uh. He ain't going anywhere. This is his world. So you know what? We need to kill that thing and do what God called us to do. There's no, really? When the rubber meets the road, I don't know that there's really a valid excuse to not serve God. I really don't. Yeah, you might be struggling. It might be hard. I'm not saying it's not going to be easy, but there's people that need to hear the gospel, and there's people in your life that need you. And the lion is not a good enough reason to not reach them. So let's get the shotgun and kill that thing. Amen.